Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-M. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 27th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And, by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. By the way, quick shout out to all the stations who've been taking us for over 2.5 decades. Much gratitude and love out to them. But additionally, I always want to say a special thank you to these podcast networks that have been taking us and other outlets as well. Of course, we've had CRN Talk taking us for years. They carry us on their Channel 4 as well as over Roku. Check them out at CRN Talk. Additionally, we have Apple, been taking us for a while. And, of course, we have Listen Notes and Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Italy, and it goes on and on. It's just been a blast. And, of course, Spotify. Can't go show without thanking Spotify. So, folks, plenty of ways to hear us. And, of course, alannathan.com. You can check out our podcast through that website, of course, mainstreetradionetwork.com as well. But most assuredly, we love our good friends over here at Salem Radio Network, who've been our distributor for quite some time now. You know, lots to get into, and as per the norm, little time to pull it off. But by the way, if you happen to hear some noise in the background, it could be my little buddy Elvis. He's my Maltese poodle. They're called Multipoo. His face looks more like a wolf. I want to call him a wolfy poo. But anyway, he's a ghost of a dog, gray and white. He's going on 5 years old, and he likes to chime in the discussion every once in a while. Normally, he's out of the studio, but today he's sauntered in. So, with a bit of luck, we're not going to be hearing his mellifluous dulcet tones, because when you do, they are jarring. I swear to God, I got a little dog here, but he could shake the bones out of, you know, most skeletal displays in science class. I'm telling you, it's just, oh, whoa, this dog's got a set of pipes. Anyway, it seems to me that the Democrats are just imploding, which is fortunate for Trump, because right now his numbers are less than ideal, although they're not as bad as what they've been in the past. And it does look as if much of what's necessary to turn them around is taking place. Eggs are going down in cost. Mortgages are dropping. Deals are about to be made with these very governments that Trump hit with tariffs recently. Tariffs, which, by the way, were always deserved. Retaliatory tariffs are just that, retaliatory, folks. He didn't initiate them. All right. Vietnam subjected us to 90% tariffs. We only responded with 45%. But that was still enough to get their attention and bring them to the table. Bring them to the table is what's happened. Now, a friend of mine overseas, I was in Portugal recently, and he said, well, you know, that 90% figure isn't quite right. Well, actually, when you factor in the duties that were also part of the equation, I can see why Trump got to the numbers he got to. It's not just tariffs, it's duties. See, tariffs are what the country tax the exporter for bringing the product to their country. Duties are what they tax their own people. You're taxing the customers directly for having the temerity, the gall, audacity, complete lack of fortitude to purchase a product that wasn't made in their own country. So they're really punishing them. Trump's trying to incentivize people to buy here, not punish them. So when you have both duties and tariffs, they're pretty much kissing cousins, bringing about the same family problems. And that's what Trump has been trying to rectify, and it's a good thing he's doing it. I'll tell you, a lot of union folks are now very, very pleased with him. Puts the Democrats in a rather untenable position because they're now going to have to demonize Trump for doing that, which their own constituents have been begging the Democrats to do themselves for decades, and they haven't done it. So you have to wonder, through which of the following acts are Democrats most effectively sabotaging themselves? Is it perhaps spewing easily exposable falsehoods? I got it. How about advocating verifiably loathed policies? Or perhaps provably overstating the level of climate change to justify authoritarian government control? I got to tell you, I think one of the most obvious self-invalidating maneuvers pulled by Democrats, just to put it on a personal level, was when virtually every one of them refused to applaud the recovery of a black 13-year-old brain cancer survivor. You know, Kellyanne Conway, old friend of the show, we've had her on. She's now a host with Fox News Channel, and of course, before that was an advisor to Donald Trump during his first term. Before that, she was an incredible pollster as well. She talks about a number of these things, but I think she's missed a few, which can be forgiven because there's so many things to track. Well, one of the things on which we did agree was this black 13-year-old brain cancer survivor was somebody who did not receive any applause from Democrats when Trump was making his March joint address of Congress. I couldn't believe it. They refused to applaud the recovery of a black 13-year-old brain cancer survivor whom Trump made an honorary agent with the Secret Service. I mean, is this too imbecilic? Is this too vacuous? And also perhaps too emblematic of what my old party has become? And of course, one of their more comically cringeworthy moments came when they tried to elevate some of their female representatives by having them participate in this quote-unquote Choose Your Fighter video wherein they liken themselves to some superhero avatars. I mean, my skin is still crawling. Is yours? Eesh. Then, of course, we have the always shrill and shrieking Representative Jasmine Crockett from Texas calling her own governor, this paralyzed Texas Governor Abbott, quote-unquote, Governor Hot Wheels. I guess thinking she would generate some great yucks around the country. Again, more cringeworthy moments. She additionally, by the way, blamed Trump's deportation for the reason behind skyrocketing grocery prices and higher mortgage rates. Oh, by the way, those things have now started to drop. That'll start making its way into the poll ratings as well. But blaming Trump for the high grocery prices brought about by her own Joe Biden during his term is nonsensical. Mortgage rates as well? Are you kidding me? You know, when Trump left office the first time, we had an inflation of 1.4%. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 1.4%. During Biden's time, he got it up to 9.2% for 18 straight months. And even though it went down a bit, I mean, in the aggregate, he was left with a term average of 5.something%. Now, these things are cumulative, so even when they drop back down, you're stuck with the debt accumulated all along the way, the hardship, the economic strain all along the way. In order to get prices to go back to where they were, Trump's going to have to bring us back down to not just 1.4%, he's going to have to go lower than that before it chips away. I mean, we can lower prices in general, sure, but to get to where they were during his term, he's going to have to bring us back to a little bit below where he was when he left, which is a tough act to follow because he was at 1.4%. Jesus. And, of course, even as we speak, Democrats are still defending the racially prioritized and slogan camouflaging racist structured DEI, CRT, and ESG. These are all camouflaged with slogans that have nothing to do with what their agendas are really about. For instance, DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, guess what? It has nothing to do with those words. Nothing to do with those words at all. I mean, its diversity is against the diversity of individual thought. Its equity is against the equity of merit. And its inclusion is sure as hell against the inclusion of all. Why? Because it's all instead prioritized with inclusion based on racial metrics versus equality for all. I mean, you wind up embodying the very racism you're ostensibly against while still expecting to be taken seriously. Bite my ass. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
Baked beans might be a summer classic, but they can also bring a deliciously unexpected twist to your spring menu. Registered dietitian Amy Goodson has more.
Baked beans aren't just for summer. They're a tasty, easy addition to any spring meal. From Easter and springtime brunches to weekday dinners, Bush's baked beans bring rich taste, quick prep, and serious versatility, whether serving them straight from the can or adding your own twist.
From savory brunch bowls to traditional favorites, beans are finding their way into all kinds of seasonal dishes.
There are so many ways to enjoy baked beans. Try a build-your-own brunch bowl with a base like rice or sweet potatoes. Then add chicken, Bush's baked beans, coleslaw, tomatoes, creamy avocado, and a kick of jalapeno. I also love Grandma's favorite Bush's baked beans, loaded with beef, bacon, smoked sausage, and veggies. It's full of flavor and nostalgia, perfect for spring get-togethers.
For more baked bean inspiration and recipes, visit bushbeans.com. That's bushbeans.com.
It's been 5 years since the COVID-19 pandemic began, yet nurses continue to face significant stress and burnout. Brendan Martin, Research Director for the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, or NCSBN, has more.
The nursing community is facing persistent challenges, with nurses continuing to leave the field in record numbers. In fact, our 2024 National Nursing Workforce Study finds nearly 2 in 5 nurses plan to leave the profession by 2029.
More than 138,000 nurses left the profession since 2022, and a lot more nurses intend to leave the field within the next 5 years. Nurses face similar challenges across all levels and experience.
40% of nurses expressed that stress and burnout are among the top reasons for considering a job change. They also mentioned heavy workloads, understaffing, and feeling underpaid contributed to their desire to leave.
For more information on the National Council of State Boards of Nursing 2024 Workforce Study, visit ncsbn.org/workforce.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Of yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted to be with us. Well, through which of the following acts are Democrats most effectively sabotaging themselves? Spewing easily exposable falsehoods? Advocating verifiably loathed policies? Or provably overstating the level of climate change to justify authoritarian government control? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy at Americans for Limited Government, fine writer. Robert, good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Alan. I actually got promoted. I'm the executive director now.
Cool. Oh, man. Good going, brother. Good on you. Good on you. Congrats. Congrats. I'm glad to hear it. We have before us Mr. Schumer. He's trying to celebrate Trump's, little drop in polls. But he seems to have not just put his own foot in his mouth, but he wound up trying to shove his entire leg in that orifice. Listen to what he had when he was recently commenting on Trump's drop in the polls, recent drop in the polls. Clip 15, James, if you please.
The polls this week show Trump has the lowest 100-day approval rating since they started polling 80 years ago, the lowest. Yes.
There was a poll out today that has your approval rating lower than any other congressional leader at 17%. Are you concerned that you may be a liability for your party?
Polls come and go, our party.
He's talking about the importance of understanding that Trump supposedly has the lowest poll numbers in 80 years for his first 100 days. And then when he's asked about his comparatively far worse poll numbers, his first response is, well, polls come and go. Robert
they
Romano.
Sure do. And so do presidencies. So yes. President Trump is in his second term. And looking at this historically, by May of 2005, George W. Bush was underwater in his approval rating. And by June of 2013, so was Barack Obama. So in the first year of a second term, that's in this century, that's when second-term presidents have gone underwater. Now, comparatively, Bill Clinton really never went underwater, and neither did Ronald Reagan successful and totally
well,
different.
Well,
times.
No, if I might, I beg to differ a little bit, because if memory serves, and you can easily verify this, I don't have anything in front of me, but if memory serves, Ronald Reagan's numbers dropped to 41, and I think it was January of 83.
Oh,
the economy was still a problem. And then, now I'm going to get to that. But in the second term, I think it was February of 87, because of Iran-Contra, his poll numbers dropped to 42. So he was underwater then, and he stayed that way for a little while. Now, having said that, when he left office, he was at 60%. Point is, these guys can drop, be underwater, and that's not necessarily emblematic of what will prove to be their entire term. As a matter of fact, right now, Trump can feel sanguine about certain developments. There's been a declination of costs for eggs. There's been a drop across the board in a number of grocery items. I know. I'm out there. I'm looking at the prices myself, as is my wife, as are my neighbors. We also know it's provable that mortgage rates have actually been going down for I think, the second month in a row. And these always prove to be the eventual drivers of poll numbers at the margins, or am I mistaken?
I agree. A lot can happen. This is like we're only a few months into the second term here. And yes, prices are cooling, but growth expectations are also cooling. Unemployment is inching upwards. Your 7.16 million is about as high as it was back in April of 2021. So this is higher than at any point during the Biden administration. So I still think you're getting a lot of the what Trump calls the Biden overhang. You see it pop up in the Q1, negative 0.3% annualized. And I think that can weigh on the president's approval rating as well. Although it's great to see prices coming down, I think, yeah, they can keep on trying to say, oh, inflation. But inflation's in the rearview mirror. People are going to notice that their gas prices are getting lower, that the grocery prices are getting lower, and that, again, their incomes have been keeping ahead of inflation for a couple of years now. So I think that that's probably going to continue and should ultimately benefit the president and Republicans politically, even as you head into the midterm cycle that will likely favor Democrats.
also, you've got billions of dollars now coming back into the United States. If we're to take the word of these, you know, hordes of corporate icons visiting the White House and making this clear in their own words, not just through President Trump as a conduit. I mean, Japan is bringing more money over. Vietnam's bringing money over. I mean, these can't help but to be eventual positive drivers for Mr. Trump's poll numbers. Or again, am I being overly sanguine? Robert Romano.
I think Trump needs to trust but verify that the investments are actually coming in and that production is actually being had here in America, that we're actually going to start producing stuff in America. I note a recent example was during the first Trump term, we were repealing a lot of the Clean Power Plan regulations from the Obama administration, but coal production kept on going down throughout the course of the Trump. The 2017, it was up, but then every year after that, it was kind of down, and then in 2020, it collapsed, but largely because of COVID, but it wasn't a great story to tell in hindsight.
How about these billions coming in from the tariffs initially brought? Now, tariffs aren't the whole story. It's also duties that Trump is dealing with as well. Tariffs are taxes that a country will place on an exporter bringing goods to their nation. But duties are what that government charges their own people, to charge the customers for, you know, having the temerity to choose a product that comes from overseas versus buying something homegrown. Trump is looking at the two of these together. It seems to me that if we're going to have any perspicacity whatsoever and can pull ourselves out of the here and now only, thinking that, you know, let's just fix the problem that we have right in front of us, as opposed to ensuring that it doesn't, you know, come back, it would seem that what Trump is doing makes a lot of sense. These tariffs have been retaliatory, meaning that the other guy started first. And when he does retaliate, he doesn't really do so to their extent, except at the 10%. At the 10% mark, yeah, he would match them 10%. But again, Vietnam had a 90% tariff against us. Trump only hit him with 45%, and he replicated that principle throughout a whole wide array of nations, I think 184 of them altogether. And he got their attention. Would you agree that such a maneuver had to be made at some point or another? Otherwise, we would have continued on a fiscally regressive trajectory. Where am I mistaken, or do I have it about right, Robert Romano?
Well, yeah, you want to see reciprocal tariffs. You want them to lower their tariffs, but unless we raise them as high or to somewhere near the vicinity of where they have their tariffs against us, they have no incentive to lower their tariffs and to stop treating us unfairly when it comes to trade. So I think the art of the deal is at play. President Trump is engaged with reciprocal tariffs. We had the largest trade deficit in American history in 2024, more than a trillion. So depending on what the average tariff rate is, you should be seeing hundreds of billions of dollars coming in as a result of the tariffs. And we'll keep your eye on the monthly Treasury reports. That's where we'll find out.
Yeah, funnily enough, because people got spooked in the stock market, they wound up buying Treasury bonds, which by default helped to lower mortgage rates. So there was some that silver lining. Anyway, actually, Robert, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment, folks. We're going to be right back. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
So Zuzu is the story of an adorable hermit crab that actually mistakes a piece of plastic for its shell. There's a short film on joinzuzu.com that is this extraordinary short film about Zuzu's story. But also there's a petition online where people can go and easily, in just moments, sign this petition to advocate for federal EPR legislation. This is so important because this allows us to create a national strategy of collective action to scale up a solution to fix the recycling problem in this country. So I partnered with SE Johnson on the Zuzu movement because SE Johnson is one of those rare companies that is out at the forefront of this issue and pushing to recognize that companies have a responsibility to play in the system. It's not just about consumers recycling. Companies and the products that they create need to be recyclable. They need to take responsibility for the life cycle of those products, and that's what SE Johnson is doing. And for more information, go to joinzuzu.com and sign the petition.
The fan favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less than legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Elise Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything. Snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us, covering a number of things, of course. Through which of the following acts are Democrats most effectively sabotaging themselves? Would it be through spewing easily exposable falsehoods, advocating verifiably loathed policies, or provably overstating the level of climate change to justify authoritarian government control? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, sticking around, and we appreciate that, old friend of the show, Robert Romano. He, of course, is with Americans for Limited Government, and he has a new august position to which he's been promoted. And what is that lofty height again, Robert Romano?
Executive Director.
Executive Director. Good on you. Good on you. You know, we were talking earlier about Trump's lowered poll numbers. They're not the worst in the world, and he's not the first president to find himself dropping below water in his second term. But at the same time, when we give it some contextual proportionality, if you will, we see that he's really not doing so badly. I want you to hear this from CNN, of all people. This is CNN analyst Harry Enten. And he says that while polls are unfavorable to Trump, compared to everybody who's rivaling him, he's doing pretty well. Clip 16, James, if you please.
So Kamala Harris obviously doesn't hold elected office right now, but Democrats in Congress sure do. So who do you trust more on the U.S. main problems, the main problems in the United States? Well, what do we have here? It's the same exact picture, folks. It's the same exact picture. When you match Donald Trump against his actual competition, Donald Trump comes out ahead. Look at this. 40% to congressional Democrats, 32%. Going to make a big circle here. But the bottom line is, when you look at Donald Trump in a vacuum, it's one thing. But when you actually match him up against folks in the real world, all of a sudden his numbers look considerably better. And when you match him up against his main competition at this point, Democrats in Congress, he is more trusted on the main problems facing the United States right now. In fact, it's not even close. It's an 8-point advantage, which in this politics, well, that's a wide ocean.
You know, Robert Romano, I'm just surprised that this guy sounds so enthusiastic. He's obviously enthusiastic over that which other people aren't really coming across, and that is when he looks at the data, he sees disparities that others don't and are ignored by the headlines. But he is factually on the money. I'm just wondering how long he can expect to maintain his employment with CNN, Robert Romano.
I think he's actually spot on with the Democrats' very low approval ratings. You're actually, if you look at, take a peek at the 2026 generic congressional ballot, Democrats only lead that by about 2 points right now. Heading into 2017 and again in 2005, when you came into the second terms or the first term of Trump, but the second term of Bush, Democrats were ahead by like 7 points or 10 points, and they held that lead throughout the entire cycle. Democrats starting out only up by a point or two in the generic ballot shows that they are extremely vulnerable in the midterms to actually potentially lose seats in the House, which only happened 3 times in the past century, 1934, 1998, and 2002. It's very likely Democrats would pick up seats in the midterms, regardless of economic circumstances, other political, but they have really low approval, and they're not leading by too much in the generic ballot, which means Republicans have an opportunity, President Trump has an opportunity to change that narrative. And maybe we're starting to see that on immigration, where majorities of the American people support deportation, not just for criminal, violent criminal gang members, but all illegal aliens. They just want all of the illegal aliens gone from the country. So I think that, when you get down to mass deportation, what are Democrats going to do? Maybe Republicans in Congress should make them vote on that.
No, that's a good point. I mean, the reality is this leaves Democrats in the untenable position of having to characterize everybody who disagrees with their agenda to increase the number of illegal immigrants as folks who are xenophobic or racist. And I don't know that you can attract many voters when you are simultaneously calling those voters racist. I mean, all nations around the planet are allowed to control those who enter their homeland without fear of the xenophobia card being thrown at them. It seems that the United States should be allowed that same reciprocal latitude, that same privilege. And for Democrats to characterize border security as tantamount to racism isn't just political suicide. It's sort of functionally illiterate, is it not, Robert Romano?
Well, it's certainly denying our sovereignty. And as President Trump is fond of saying, you won't have a country if we go on much longer like this. And people talk about it could be 15 million, 20 million, 30 million. We don't know how many illegal aliens are here. We don't know how many of them married American citizens and became citizens themselves. But suffice to say, you just can't go on like this and expect to have a country. So I think that President Trump, he was originally elected to deal with illegal immigration and trade disparities. He is doing both. President Trump is keeping his promises and doing exactly what he was elected to do. Political turbulence notwithstanding, this is simply a matter of state of course, and Republicans in Congress, they're holding firm right now. I was very delighted to see that they defeated that resolution in the Senate. that would have eliminated Trump's national emergency on trade. Instead, they upheld the national emergency, and the reciprocal tariffs are here to stay. And so the president has the strongest possible hand in negotiating with these countries, particularly Mexico, who we need their help, quite honestly, to secure the southern border on their side of it and to round up these drug cartels.
Well, you have some states that are trying to get to Trump in court saying that he's exceeded his authority, but the authority was already ceded to him by Congress. Yeah, it's Congress's authority, but they gave it to him. They've already given him through laws prerogative to make a lot of these decisions. And it does appear as if Congress has made the statement that they want to continue letting him have this latitude. So I don't see those court cases going very far. However, while Trump has experienced some pluses as it relates to his option to fire people, his separated power seems to be infringed upon by these courts when it comes to what should be his plenipotentiary control over illegal immigrants. Title 8, of course, allows him, you know, basically it says that, you know, should he find that any group of aliens are injurious to the interests of the United States, he may by proclamation impose upon these aliens any restrictions he so desires. And this would seem to include deportation, but he seems to be running into a lot of headwind regarding this. How do you see this eventually unfolding? Because people have to remember, there is a check that the president has against the judiciary. It's not used often, but it does exist. And that is, he could just ignore the ruling because, let's face it, our founding fathers ensured that the judiciary would never be allowed to enforce its own rulings for fear that it could become a tyrannical force. So they built in the Constitution the executive's ability to check a potentially rogue judiciary. And regardless of all the rhetoric that might surround such a move, it is a legitimate constitutional check. Now, he's not a king, so the House could find that, oh, no, you're the rogue agent, and send it over to the Senate for an expulsion trial. But if the Senate expulsion trial fails to reach those two-thirds required to stop him, well, then he will have won that separation of powers dispute. Isn't that fair to say, Robert Romano?
Well, yeah, it is very interesting. Article 1, Section 8 provides that Congress has the power to provide for a uniform rule of naturalization, and they did that with a 1996 law that was stuck in the omnibus bill, bipartisan, signed by Bill Clinton, that allows for expedited removals of arriving aliens. This was upheld by the Supreme Court in 2020 in Homeland Security, the Durasigiam, and in that case, Justice Alito wrote the opinion that there's no due process violation by expedited removals of aliens, and there's no habeas corpus issues with that as well. That said, Congress delineated it for arriving aliens. So Trump has resorted to the Alien Enemy Act of 1798, which doesn't it deals with invaders, and then it just also deals with residents who would get kind of a court proceeding, but non-residents there's no application for that. So I think that there is a kind of a conflict between the 1798 invocation versus the 1996 Act. I think Congress could actually help to settle this question merely by expanding the range of peoples that expedited removals under the 1996 legislation can apply to. So you're going to see those two laws, I think, come into interpretation. And I don't think that the 1996 law trumped the 1798 Act, because the 1996 law does not include the invocation of a predatory incursion or an invasion. The 1798 Act does. The 1952 Act never repealed the Alien Enemy Act. The 1965 Act didn't, and the 1996 Act did not. So the 1798 Act still stands. President can declare that there is an invasion and see to the removal of the invading aliens. Imagine if there was like a military invasion. You wouldn't suddenly declare the occupying army to be residents of the United States, and then they would you would just start attacking those positions.
Exactly.
There wouldn't be any due process.
Exactly. Just because they're not wearing a uniform doesn't make them any less of an invader. Otherwise, you've given the perfect tactic for an invading force. Hey, guys, just come in your civvies, and we can't be as effective in stopping you. I think most people would say, screw that. Obviously, I could chat with you for a long time. It's always fun having you on board. Robert Romano, everybody. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
fashion consultants Stacey London and Clinton Kelly from the popular TV series What Not to Wear are back together again. And this time they're making over the makeover show with Prime Video's original new series, Wear Whatever the F You Want. In the new series, premiering April 29th, Stacey and Clinton are ready to transform clients in the fashion capital of New York City, helping them bring their fantasy look to life. Whether it's punk rock or eclectic bohemian artist, Stacey and Clinton empower individuals to live out their fashion fantasies and discover their style truth. Wear Whatever the F You Want offers a fresh perspective that celebrates personal expression over outdated style guidelines. It's all about freedom of expression without any rules. Don't miss the highly anticipated reunion of TV's favorite fashion experts, Stacey London and Clinton Kelly, in Wear Whatever the F You Want this Tuesday, April 29th, exclusively on Prime Video.
More than 7 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, the highest number on record. A new survey from the Alzheimer's Association finds that nearly 4 in 5 Americans want to know early if they have the disease before symptoms interfere with their daily lives. Dr. Elizabeth Edgerly, Senior Director of Community Programs and Services at the Alzheimer's Association.
We found most people want to be proactive in addressing their memory concerns, even if it might be Alzheimer's. That's good news because early diagnosis offers the best opportunity for care and for treatment.
The survey also found most Americans are open to treatments that can slow the disease.
92% of people say they would take medication that could slow the progression of Alzheimer's, and nearly 60% would accept moderate to high risk with treatment. It was clear people want earlier diagnosis, access to new therapies, and support from day one.
Visit alz.org/facts to learn more.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
Hmm. You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True, but now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, It's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A
pva.org.
Donald Trump is not seeing out favorable polls when it comes to the economy, when it comes to immigration. But look here, which party has a better plan? And this is the margin among registered voters. Look at this on immigration. The GOP crushes the Democrats. Look at that. That's a 19-point edge. My goodness gracious, you rarely ever see leads like that in politics these days. How about on the economy, where Donald Trump's numbers have been struggling a little bit? But even there, Republicans hold a 9-point lead. If Democrats think that at this particular point, just because Donald Trump is unpopular, that they're going to run away with it like a Heisman Trophy winner, that is not necessarily the case. These numbers should be a major wake-up call for Democrats. Despite Donald Trump's unpopularity in the polls, when you actually go up against him and you put Democrats' names against him, when you put Republicans as a whole up against him, Republicans and Donald Trump do considerably better. And that is why Democrats, in fact, cannot count their chickens just yet, because those eggs have not cracked at this particular moment.
And that was CNN analyst Harry Enten. Yes, you heard the sentence correctly. CNN analyst Harry Enten with CNN News Central. You are with the Alan Nathan Show. Thank you so much for being with us again. This is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. We have before us a plethora of challenges. You just heard Trump's numbers given some contextual proportionality. We see that, yeah, he's taken some hits because when you're maneuvering a ship of state in another direction, the growing pains that naturally ensue will come with some drop in numbers. But on balance, he's holding up pretty well. And again, as you heard, compared to the Democrats, he's crushing it. And when you're looking at only dealing with the other team, he's ahead of the curve. And it's going to only get better because, as I mentioned earlier, we've seen grocery prices are dropping, especially eggs. Democrats were talking about how, you know, injurious it all is to the economy, that egg prices are still high. You know, the ones that were elevated by Trump's predecessor, they like to forget about that. But again, cost of eggs are going down, cost of bread's going down, milk going down. Mortgage rates are going down. We can in part thank the tariffs for that, because when people got spooked by the stock market, they gravitated to T-bills, and T-bills are the foundation upon which those who generate mortgage rates are inclined to base their decisions. And so there's the silver lining there. But also, more importantly, people are coming to the table and deals are about to be struck. Should be fascinating to watch develop. But anyway, it does appear Trump has a pretty strong hand as it relates to these tax cut negotiations that are going on right now as we speak, and assisting in the opining and analyzing on that issue, we have Kent Strang, Managing Director for the Americans for Prosperity People. Kent, good to have you back. How are you today? Do we have Kent with us? Kent? You can.
Yeah, do you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hello?
Did you hear my introduction to you?
I did. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I don't know what happened, but we're here. We're ready to go.
Excellent, excellent. And did you hear my recapping of what's going on Capitol Hill? And it looks like the numbers are boding well for Trump in the grand scheme of things. Did you hear Harry Enten's assessment of Trump's posture in the polls?
I did. I loved it. And I think it's a great point. I've been following the Democrats' message this week, talking about those grocery prices and eggs. And since when did Democrats care about grocery prices? This is the same party that just in the previous administration, they spent $5.5 trillion in new spending. And we all felt and know the result of that. What that did is that took inflation to a 40-year high. It skyrocketed prices. And their votes in Congress, so the same people complaining about it, the Bernie Sanders, the AOCs, the Elizabeth Warrens, who are talking about prices all of a sudden, that took it so the American people paid $11,400 more just to maintain their lifestyle. And so all of a sudden, they're the price czars. They're the price experts. Dems are rudderless, and they have amnesia because they seem to forget that progressive policies like that make life more expensive for Americans.
And the sweet irony, of course, is right now as we speak, those prices are going down under Trump. Eggs are dropping in prices. Mortgage rates are going down. And I can't help but to feel that this does give Trump a bit of an assist as we now enter into these negotiations on Capitol Hill vis-a-vis the continuation of his tax cuts. What say you?
Certainly. Again, this is, prices are coming down. This is a great spot. And I think that Congress can help President Trump by staying focused on getting pro-growth tax cuts across the board in this reconciliation process. And they need to do it quickly so they can show the American people that not only have they brought down prices as we turn the page from Joe Biden, but tax cuts work, because failure to extend the Trump tax cuts will result in the biggest tax hike in American history. Republicans cannot let that happen.
I don't think they will either. And Democrats, as you know, they're repeating the provable lie that the Trump tax cuts from earlier only help the rich, despite even the Liberal Tax Policy Center acknowledging that over 80% of the country actually received those tax cuts. And this was even reported on by, of all places, the New York Times. Here's the headline. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut taxes for most Americans. And then it goes, here's an excerpt from the piece. To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. This was a reporter, not an opinion writer. And I think that reality, even if spun in a very disconnected way by Democrats, the reality is something that Americans have actually lived and want to continue holding on to. What say you?
Absolutely. Even every now and then, the New York Times gets something right, which is shocking. But yes, they are right. These are not tax cuts for the wealthy, so to speak. What it is it is a pretty clear indication that the average American family saves $1,500 per year under these tax cuts. Small businesses thrived under these tax cuts. We've talked to small businesses across the country about how the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act helped them. And they did one of two things with these tax cuts. They either, one, invested into their business by opening new locations, getting new machinery, being able to elevate their business.
Very, very quickly, let me interpose for a moment. Everybody, that, of course, is my buddy Elvis. He's my Maltese poodle. He likes to pop in and, you know, give his opinion, his views, his perspectives. Part and parcel and apropos of being the dog of a talk host. But anyway, sorry for the interruption. I just wanted people to know that my little buddy likes to weigh in on everything. But, you know, we got to have you back real soon. Ken, thanks so much for dropping by. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.